Hello, hello, and welcome back to Art House Garage, the snob-free film podcast where we make art house, indie, classic, and foreign cinema accessible to the masses. I'm your host, Andrew Sweatman, and today, season 6 of the podcast continues with another standout documentary called Boy State. Boy State, from directors Amanda McBain and Jesse Moss, is streaming now on Apple TV+. This film depicts a unique week-long event that happens each year in the state of Texas. The event is called Boy State, and it's a summer camp-style gathering of 17-year-old boys from around the state during the summer between their junior and senior years of high school. They come together at a college campus, and they stage a mock government, complete with elections, campaigns, impeachments, voting, schmoozing your peers, going negative in the press. Basically, anything that happens in real politics happens at Boy State. And this makes for an incredibly interesting film that offers insights to our political process and also manages to show the good, the bad, and the ugly of human nature. I'm really excited for you to hear this episode of the podcast for two reasons. One is my guest. He's a journalist and a documentary filmmaker named Obed Lamy, and he directed a wonderful short film called A Promising Voice that played at Filmland 2020. I got on the phone with him a few weeks back to record this episode about Boy State, and I was just so happy with how it turned out. He's also someone who's very interested in U.S. politics, and he offers a unique perspective because he's only lived in the U.S. for a few years. Obed is Haitian, and on our call, he talks about growing up in Haiti and his relationship with the U.S. and his feelings about our government and how that has changed over time. It's really fascinating to hear. The second interesting thing about this episode has to do with me. I was excited to watch and discuss Boy State because I myself attended Boy State when I was 17 years old. So this film depicts Texas Boy State in 2018. I attended Arkansas Boy State way back in 2007, but I definitely felt a lot of familiarity watching the film, and it was great to kind of bring up some old memories. It's one of those things where if somebody mentions Boy State, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot I did that all those years ago. So then this film comes out, it's all about it, and suddenly it's right in my face again, and I'm kind of reliving the experience and realizing it probably was more formative than I knew at the time. So anyway, I also share about my experience of going to Boy State in this episode. And with that, let's say hello to our guest. Welcome to the podcast, Obed. How are you?
Hey, hello, Andrew. I'm doing very well, and thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on. So you and I met through Instagram, really, but through Filmland, the Arkansas Cinema Society festival that happened back in October. And then we got to actually meet in person out there at the drive-in, you know, 6 feet apart. Yeah. So I'm excited to have you on the show. At that point, I was seeing your film, A Promising Voice, which is this great documentary. What's the latest on that? Are you still doing festivals, or what's going on with it?
There is a quiet moment now with this film. I guess it can maybe play into some social groups, like nonprofit organization that are maybe interested in this story. But so far, it's been a very good experience with all the festivals it's been playing in. I guess that was 6. And nice. Yes, I'm very happy with that. And a lot of friends and people in my country were excited about the press coverage I've had. So yeah, it's been a good experience.
That's really great. I watched all the shorts, and yours really stuck out to me as, you know, it's a documentary, so it's about a real subject, and you really seem to have a good handle on, you know, when to let the camera run and show something. I think that's what I said in my review. I did a review on IGTV if anyone wants to go watch that.
Yeah.
But I just was really impressed by it.
Yes, I remember your review, and I was very excited and honored about that because, you know, I didn't know you before. So when you make something and film, and you know, people spend time to watch it, and then being online and sharing some comments about it, you know, I don't know how I can explain how I felt about that. And I'm still grateful that you spent your time, and not only to watch it, but also to share your thoughts about it. And I mean, thank you for that.
Of course, yeah. No,
That was
I
the
love.
first public, that was the first public critics I had about that film, or my
Oh
first
wow,
film.
that's so cool. Yeah, I just love watching movies, and something about like this is a new movie that not many people have seen yet. And if I can be somebody that's out there saying, "Here's what's good about this, you should watch it," you know, that I get excited about that. And so that's I'm glad that it's helpful, you know, especially for like student films. I want to like just be able to champion whenever I can. And then it's even better when I get
Thank you
to
for
meet
that.
you and stuff later. So I'm glad it worked out.
I remember you had some specific comments about a few scenes and or specific artistic details in the film. I was like, oh man, this guy really spent time to watch that.
Well, I'm
So
glad that was good. Yeah. Well, thank you for making the film.
thank
I
you
think
for
it's
that.
really good, and it's so interesting to hear. So, I guess we can kind of transition on into the episode because I want to talk a little bit more about you. But yeah, so let's pause here and let's talk about Boy State.
I will skip the part where I brag for 3 minutes about how great and cool I am. Seeing as we are all qualified young men of skill and character, people like that stuff.
Sounds good, yeah.
People like that stuff a lot.
Some people say they're a sports junkie. I say I'm a politics junkie.
The harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph.
I'm playing this like a game. I would like very much to win.
I love it, boys. I love it. Where are you from?
I come from a very modest family. I'm on the course to be the first one to graduate from high school.
I'm a progressive person, and I'm in a room full of mostly conservative people.
Our masculinity shall not be infringed.
I've never seen so many white people ever. I feel like everybody has this secret underlying need for bipartisanship.
A message of unity, as good as it sounds, is not winning anyone any elections.
Primary polls are now open.
Get yourselves ready for a turbulent election.
Whatever happens, dude, best of luck.
You win, I support you fully.
My name is Steven Garza, and I'm running for governor.
Let's get the applause because.
As to the political views voiced in my speech, sometimes you gotta say what you gotta say in an attempt to win.
I think he's a fantastic politician. But I don't think a fantastic politician is a compliment either.
We're gonna do shock and awe. It's gonna be awesome.
I want y'all to take out your phones and go on Instagram. Everyone, come on.
Oh my God.
Will we show the world what patriots are made of? That when things get tough, we pull ourselves by our bootstraps. One nation, under God, lovers of the Constitution of the United States of America!
That's politics, I think. That's politics.
All right, let's talk about Boy State. So this is a documentary streaming now on Apple TV, and it's pretty fascinating. It's like a camp, basically. It's an event, a week-long event that happens, in this case, in Texas. And it is, it's like the political system, but made into a camp experience. So it's a bunch of 17-year-old boys. I think they're between junior and senior year of high school. And they all come together on a college campus, and they run for office, they run campaigns, they vote, there's primaries and everything. They do the whole kind of running for governor, Senate, lots of different positions. And this documentary follows a few of the people, some of the ones running for the higher offices that are attending this event. And it is pretty crazy. It's just really amazing. It really is kind of a microcosm of kind of the democratic process as we know it in America. And it's pretty fascinating. So it gets wild, as you might expect at like a boys camp situation. It gets pretty crazy. But before we talk about all of that, I did have a question just for you, Obed, because you are from Haiti. And so I was going to see, like, how long have you been interested in American politics? I know you're a journalist and you have kind of a journalistic style in your own filmmaking, but did you grow up kind of aware of American politics when you were living in Haiti, or is that something that's been new for you in the last few years?
It's both. I mean, when you grew up in my country, Haiti, you are exposed to everything about U.S. Mm. Part of the reason is because we have a large Haitian diaspora in the United States. Mm. So there is a lot of transactions in terms of they send money, they send food, they send clothes back home. They also travel all the year for the summer, for Christmas vacation. Mm. So you know about the U.S. And you know when things are going well or bad in the U.S. because when you speak to those, you know, when you talk to those people on the phone, they will give you some, you know, feedbacks to how they are doing or how the country is doing. Mm. And also the immigration part of it, when you have, you know, many times the U.S. have deported people in my country. Mm. So mm-hmm. we know those things. And I would also say that since the country, my country has been occupied twice by the U.S. Mm-hmm. and recently, quite frankly. So when you go to school, you learn in a history book about the U.S. occupation of Haiti. But wow. personally, I started to be interested in U.S. politics itself. I guess that was in 2015 and 2016 mm-hmm. during the campaign and the end of the Obama terms. Mm-hmm. At that time, I remember I was a journalist working for an online news organization in my country. We were trying to keep up with the campaign because there were some issues that was related to things going on in my country. Mm-hmm. But from a personal level, I think I have been interested in learning English because of the U.S. politics. Because when I was in high school, when you are in high school in my country, you have to take both English and Spanish classes. I was more interested in Spanish, maybe because of the accent, of the grammar rules that are close to French. Mm. I was never interested in English. So in 2015 and 16, you had Michelle Obama and Barack Obama going everywhere to give their final speeches and a lot of emotions. I was really, when I was seeing those things on social media, I was interested in understanding what they are saying. And I remember every night when I go back home from work, I go on YouTube and watch those speeches and with subtitles, of course. And wow. and then again, my connection in U.S. politics is really close to or is combined with my experience of learning English, because again, when I came here in March 2019 to do my English program, that was from March to August before I started my master, mm-hmm. I remember I was watching TV that day. That was a Sunday when Pete Buttigieg was having his first town hall. Mm-hmm. So I follow all these 2019 and 2020 and 2021 election cycles. So yes, I'm really interested in the U.S. politics now. And I even took, outside of my journalism program, I even took last semester a class in the political science department. This is a class called Race and Ethnicity in Politics. So, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So politics is kind of part of your story. That's really interesting. Yeah. It's really eye-opening to hear this kind of stuff from you, just because I think, you know, like most Americans, I don't know that much about Haiti, sadly. You know, we should teach geography and culture better in our schools. I feel like I have a million questions for you, but we should probably talk about the movie. But
yes, no problem.
Well, here's one other kind of side question. So this movie, Boy State, is about, yeah, this event, Boy State. Had you ever heard of that before? I mean, I guess the answer is probably no. Most people probably never heard of Boy State, but were you aware of it at all? And if so, or if not, what do you think about it?
No, I've never heard about Boy State before that film came out. Since I am really interested in documentary and I subscribe to a lot of platforms about documentary like Doc NYC or IDA or Sundance, so they used to promote some films they are partner with, I don't know. Yeah. So I saw information, or I have seen many information about Boys State, and I think I was interested to watch it. But what I had in mind was, like, of course, a bunch of boys, because I watched the trailer. Doing something about politics, or maybe because of this 2020 election.
Yeah.
But I had no clue that was something well organized, that was a platform that exists for so long in the country, and many people have been put into it. So yes, I had no clue about Boys State. So but I guess when I watched the film, I'm not talking about the film right now, but just a side thing I want to say, is I feel like it's like scout camp.
Not unlike that,
And it's mainly about politics or the democratic process. So,
Yeah, that's kind of my feeling about it too. So, I'm not surprised you hadn't heard of the Boys State event. I think probably, most people have not. But it was interesting to me when I heard the title of it. I was like, is that about Boys State, like the camp? Because I did know about it because I actually attended, I went to Boys State in Arkansas.
When was that?
So the film is about Texas Boys State, but Arkansas does it as well. I'm not sure how many other states have a Boys State, and there's a Girl State also. They mentioned that in the film. But it's between your 11th and 12th grade during the summer. So I was, for me, that was summer of 2017. And I'll share a little bit about my experience before we get into the movie, just because I think it's kind of interesting.
Yes, thank you.
So here we get the personal side for you and for me on this episode. But I didn't really like Boys State that much. And I don't even know, I'm trying to remember how I even got involved in it, but I think it was your teachers would nominate you. And I want to say like two or three boys from each high school got nominated or something like that. And I was pretty good friends with my civics teacher. I was kind of a nerd in high school, so I was friends with my teachers and had good grades and stuff. So they nominated me, and I went. My brother had gone a few years before, my big brother. So I kind of knew a little bit about what it was. But yeah, it's pretty crazy. So I was not the type to run for office there. I basically stayed and just had a sort of a camp experience. Of course, you're getting up in the morning for calisthenics. They're making you do jumping jacks at 6 a.m. And then you're eating like camp food. It's on a college campus. But then it was just lots of events and listening to speeches and that kind of stuff was mostly my experience with it.
Is there anything you've seen in that movie in this documentary that is different from your experience, or that is exactly what you experienced through your time in Boys State?
That's a great question, and it's actually pretty different in some big ways. I mean, for one thing, this was 2007. We didn't really have smartphones yet, and we also were not allowed to use our phones during the day. So like, we didn't have these Instagram campaigns and that kind of stuff going on. Like, none of that was happening. And also, at one point in the movie, like, they have a podcast that they're doing, and I'm like, we didn't have a podcast. So I don't know if it's just because like the Texas one is more legit and has more money or something, but it was pretty different in that way.
They also have a TV station.
And they have, that's right. Yeah, we didn't have any of that. We went to speeches and ran for office. Yeah,
I guess the podcast part of Boys State takes that would have been really interesting for you.
Yeah,
seriously. If you were a part of it.
Yeah, so if we had a podcast when I was doing it, maybe I would have had a better time. But I was not, like, there were people that were running for the bigger offices. I don't think it was as crazy as it gets in this movie, but it's possible, but that just wasn't the people I was spending time with. My good friend, there's just maybe one other person from my high school. He did run for something. He ran for land commissioner, and then he appointed me as a deputy land commissioner. So I did have an office at the end, but I was just appointed because.
But is there that you've learned about the U.S. politics that is still, I don't know, useful for you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lesson right there. Is like, it's all about who you know, because I didn't really even want an office, and then I ended up with one just because I knew somebody that was. You learn all about the political process, and Yeah, I think there were some of the, it's like I learned about the classroom side of stuff in high school in the civics class, but then here you kind of learn the social side of politics a little bit. I guess it's kind of what it's getting at, which, you know, I pay attention to politics, but I'm not that much of a political person. And so I didn't really enjoy Boys State very much. And actually, most of the people I went with said they didn't really have that good of a time. So anyway, whatever that's worth.
Oh my God.
But yes, so it was an interesting kind of commonality saying, oh, that's a documentary about Boys State. I've done that before. So anyway, yeah, I guess let's talk about the movie. So this documentary showcases kind of some unusual things about American democracy. So I wanted to see for you, is there anything in the movie that stood out as just like really surprising or strange, whether that's about the movie itself or just American politics as a whole?
Yes. I mean, this is, as I said before, this is a story totally new for me. The Boys State as an event, and also the way, first of all, I think this is a very great documentary because being able to spend, I guess this is a week event.
I think so. Yeah, that's what it was for me.
Yeah, and to pick some very, very compelling characters, that's something really, really interesting those documentary filmmakers have done. And yeah, I don't know if they had planned something before as far as knowing, okay, this guy is going to run for office. They talk with, you know, this specific character beforehand and knowing that, okay, we have to follow this specific character. Or if maybe after maybe 2 days, they kind of have a sense of what's going on and, okay, we're going to follow maybe these two or five characters. So this is a really great documentary. And with those specific characters, you really have a sense of how the story is unfolding and having a broader sense of what Boys State is. So pretty well done. Now, what is really strange or surprising to me is how those very young boys can be so knowledgeable about US politics. Yeah. I don't know if there is a training session before that week event. I mean, to me, it's really surprising to know how they know about the issues, how they speak very, very well, how they, you know, show leadership. You have this black man, I guess his name is Rene. He was the chair of the Federalist Party. I don't remember.
National Federalist.
I mean, he was really, really good. He's a good public speaker. He's a great leader. He, although he has faced, you know, some backlash from other guys, but he was doing his job very well. So yes, I mean, those guys, they are great leaders. They know very well about, you know, the issues and U.S. politics. Although personally, I have some, you know, my own beliefs or my own, the way I see politics, maybe does not resonate the same way as some of them. But I guess this is a place where people can learn about the U.S. politics.
Yeah.
Even better than what is displaying in real life in Washington, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's a really good observation that it is, you know, we grow up, us American boys grow up in this society seeing these kind of things in politics. And I mean, you mentioned you kind of started getting into politics around 2015 or 2016. And that was a very interesting time for politics because, yeah, Obama was on the way out and Trump was on the way in. And you definitely feel that in this movie. I think you can tell that kind of that's where things are. But yeah, I like that you brought up Rene because he's such an interesting person in this. And he comes in with already having experience with like writing legislation.
Yeah.
And then he also, you feel a difference there between him. And then there's some of these other guys who you can tell like they're good public speakers, like you mentioned, and maybe that's kind of the extent of it. Like they are good at getting on the microphone and, you know, giving a speech, but they may not have much experience or they may be, I don't know. It's a kind of a contrast between Rene and some of the other people for that reason, I think. But yeah, it's what I thought was interesting about this is that it opens up with this quote from George Washington about the two-party system and something about You know, George Washington kind of famously did not like the two-party system, thought it was a bad idea. He said it would open up for someone, so I can't remember the exact word, but basically someone uninformed to kind of usurp and get to power. And the filmmakers seem to be pointing pretty directly at our now former President Trump with that kind of thing. So that was my feeling about it. And then that kind of plays out over the movies. You kind of see some similar kind of things happening. So that I thought that was interesting that the filmmakers kind of took that track with it, opening with that quote and then kind of following the story in that way.
But you know one thing, because I had a short conversation with a friend of mine. He's also from Arkansas. He was also a Boy State when he was younger. One of the things we were talking is how conscious those guys, young boys, are when they are filmed in this event.
Yeah.
And having those comments and expressing such, I don't know, like really, I don't want to say radical opinions, but I don't know if maybe in the future, some of them, maybe to watch this film back and say, I don't know.
Yeah, will they regret any of this?
How was that, you know, the access? Because, you know, to do a documentary, you need to have access. And these guys, they are young, they are under 18, I guess.
Yeah, I think they're mostly 17, yeah.
So I don't know if they had permission from their parents or the people running the Boy State events to be able to, I mean, to be part of this film.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. They do. They get really candid and open. There's some shots where they're just like on the couch talking about what was going on, and they say some pretty, radical things or just surprising things. And some of those, I almost don't want to spoil what they say, but we can maybe hint at it. But kind of getting along those lines, one thing that I also found surprising was, you know, I know Texas is a conservative place, but I was surprised by just how conservative it seemed like most of the people were. And there are some exceptions to that, but it really seemed overwhelmingly red, I guess. And then another thing, just this partisan nature of it, because, I mean, I think when I was 17, back in 2007, it was a less divided time in our country, and it was probably just a different feeling for that reason. But they assign these everyone into two political parties, Federalists and Nationalists, as a way to, I guess, try to get around, you know, just partisan divides. But that's the way it still goes anyway. So it's amazing how partisan it still is. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but I guess the Federalists and the Nationalist things are just different names, but they really reflect the political, you know, ideologies in the U.S. as far as Republican and Democrats, because you can see, I don't know, when someone lean more into Democrat or lean more into Republican, I mean, based on the issues they stand for or the way they see, you know, each other. So I don't think the fact that they pick Federalists and Nationalists to name the parties really take them away from the two-party system in the U.S., or at least the two main parties, like Democrat and Republican party. I don't really think. I mean, I was really able, although I'm not really, you know, knowledgeable about the U.S. politics, but I was able to say, oh, this is, you know, a conservative person, or this is a more liberal person.
Yeah, that's interesting. That kind of transitions into, so my next question was going to be kind of, you know, this movie, I feel like there's a lot of negative things that this movie shows, that it's sort of calling out different things about American democracy and American politics. But I think there are, for me at least, there were some positive things too. Did you have anything that, you know, thought, okay, that's a hopeful thing, that's a positive thing about any moments or characters in this film?
There are many, many interesting or positive things, actually. First of all, the fact that you can just gather 1,000, you know, young boys or young or future citizens in a place to help or teach them, or, you know, give them the opportunity to practice, you know, the democratic process is something really interesting, because in the next 5 or 10 years, there will be leaders. And as a matter of fact, I at the end of the film, you would see they give some updates about what they are doing right now. I guess the guy named Stephen, he was for governor, and he was in the lineup for the Democratic convention in Texas. So some of them are really, you know, really into real politics, not only as just for the so that thing, this is really interesting for me. I mean, to me. And another interesting thing I would say is also the commitment, because we disagree with, you know, what other side or what the other side believe, but to see people really, to see that people are really interested in, you know, being part of, or participate into politics or participate in this making in society, that can be really helpful, because we are in a time where people are trying to stay away from politics. And as a journalist myself, I don't think this is the best attitude, because if we are not in the room, we can't not, you know, influence any change. I think this is some of the few, some of the positive things I can touch from what I see in this film. And yes, I guess you want to talk about some of the And I would also say, I don't know, I haven't really seen the hands behind this event. I don't know, maybe this is an artistic or, I don't know, choice made by the filmmakers. You kind of see these boys are leading or running the event itself. You don't really see any, I mean, you don't see a lot of, you know, grown person as far as giving direction. I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's something good or bad. I mean, it can be good in the sense that those old or grown person, they have, you know, their political preference. You might think that their influence is young boys, but at the same time, maybe to jump into some of the negative side or of the film of Boys States is also that you don't see any person trying to be the arbiter when something is going, you know, bad, like the backlash.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yes, if this is a learning experience, they should learn not only about the democratic process, but also how to behave when you disagree with someone. And some of the boys, they were really, really affected by those types of, you know, behaviors. I guess mentally, I guess they will go home, and in those moments will stay with them. And if that event is meant to be a learning experience, when something bad, you know, like this backlash happened, there should be somebody to bring the guys together and to say, this is what is wrong about what you did. This is how it should be, or it should have been. So, yes.
That's a really good point. And so, so about that, I mean, as far as my Boy State experience, we were pretty led by adults and different things, but you're right. It does seem like there's not that many, like, you know, people in charge, especially like the Renee character. Again, he, there's a faction of people that want to impeach him. And, you know, I feel like if that had happened at my Boy State, that, you know, the leaders would have stepped in and stopped it or something. But you know, Renee deals with it. Like, he steps up and is, he shuts it down, basically, in a way that's really interesting to watch. But yeah, I think that's, you're right. Those, they just, it seems like they're just kind of left to their own devices in a way that's really interesting. But yeah, go ahead.
And you saw that, I mean, he had any help. We are talking about Renee again. He had any help. And he was, you know, sometimes there are some friends just, you know, come to him and, you know, try to, you know, give some comments and trying to, you know, help him to be more or to understand. Okay, it's not that bad, but you don't see any adult person trying to fix that problem. I mean, I have a sense that you can get into Boy State in you learn, you know, a lot about elections and running for office and the different positions in the state. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you go back home with any change in your belief system, in your viewpoints about the politics and other social issues in society. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's, I don't know, maybe I have this, I'm a little bit pessimistic about it because of what we've seen over the past 2 years in this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in talking about that, one of the comments I share with my friends is that I don't know how much what we've seen in this country over the past 2 years will push the leaders to make some, you know, change into the way they organize both states, because I guess there are some things people are trying to be more cautious about them right now. Mm-hmm. After seeing in the summer the protest for racial justice, and
yeah, that's really interesting. I wonder if like if they can do like a boy state too in a few years and see like what's it like now, how are things different, or even seeing these same characters years down the road. That would be interesting too. But yeah, that's a really good point. You know, and what you said about and just like people being involved, for one thing, like it's kind of interesting that they're so young, because I feel like, I mean, my political beliefs when I was 17 and my political beliefs now are very different. And so like there's also a sense of like these people are, you know, they're, some of them are very outspoken about what they're saying, and but they're kids, you know, so it's just kind of a funny thing to think about there. But then also what you said about, you know, there is a hopefulness in having people so invested in the democratic process, and I think you're right. So I heard a quote, I can't remember who or where from, in the last few years, but it was about, you know, if you are able to say, I don't really care about politics, or I'm not that interested in politics, that is actually a statement of privilege. And, you know, you feel like you're not as affected by policies, then you're living a very privileged life. And that's something that I realized, because that was my feeling about it when I was 17 and I was there. I was kind of laughing it all off, and I'm not that interested, and why do I have to go to this, blah, blah, blah. Politics is boring. I later became much more interested in politics, but absolutely, and that was from a place of privilege, just, you know, middle-class teenager.
And I'm glad to bring that in, that can resonate with the character of Steven, for example. Mm-hmm. he's born here, and his mother was in, you know, undocumented person from Mexico. Yeah. So it was in real life how those policies really affect himself, his family. So he cannot be just I don't care. So he was, I guess this is one of the characters that really I was more interested in.
Yeah.
But that was the most compelling to me, because he wasn't playing games, or he wasn't faking. You feel like he takes these things really, really seriously. He was crying at the end. He's a mindful person. He has his notebooks. He doesn't speak too much. But when he speaks, he commands attention, he commands respect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, he's a really compelling character.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, is that the character of Steven, this, of course, character, is a real person. He was hopeful for me. And so I feel like the movie kind of aligns with him and kind of paints him as sort of a hero in this setting. And so I was kind of, you know, trying to stay at a distance and say, I don't want the movie to influence me too much. Of course, how can you control that? But then even so, I was still like, yeah, Steven, he's a good guy. Like he's doing things well. And even so, yeah, like what you said about, he's a good public speaker, but it comes in a way that feels humble, and is, he's not getting up and, yeah, he's taking it very seriously, like you said. And yeah, coming from the background he comes from, that makes a lot of sense that he would. But then even his ability to find common ground with people was pretty amazing, because he had been at a gun control rally months before, and they end up using that as a smear campaign, like, oh, he's not really pro-guns, look what he did here. And he gives a speech where he addresses it, and he's like, here's the deal, I think, you know, we can find common ground on this. And yes, he does it in a really good way. And even yes, just his ability to walk into a room of people that clearly disagree with him and just be fearless and like connect with them, I think was pretty amazing. But yeah, go ahead.
One of the things I would say which is interesting in the filmmaking process, or maybe it's an artistic or maybe a political choice from the filmmakers, is the fact that they depict Steven as a real hero, although he lost his election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see, they still follow him at the end of the election, and although he was crying, but he was dignified.
Yeah.
He was not like someone who just lost and we should forget about him, or we should care about him. But I think they did a really, really great job.
Yeah.
The way they picked or followed Steven as a character.
Yeah, it is interesting. So I'm curious too about how do they decide who to follow? Like, because they were, even before Boise State started, how do they find the right guys? Maybe they plan to run for governor. I don't know. Go ahead.
Exactly. Yeah, that was my question. I raised the question before because it's a really short period of time, like only 1 week. You don't. I don't think they had
massive crew. Yeah.
Or with, you know, to plan who is going to run for this or that, because you see, like, everything is so natural with those boys. Mm-hmm. And when they were picking who is going to run for XYZ, because you would have seen something is not normal if that was planned.
Yeah.
Before. I don't know. Maybe they have, or maybe the filmmakers have participated into some voice states before and kind of known what is going to.
Yeah.
Happen and trying to be, and by the way, they had, because I like to read, how do you call that, by the way, after the movie, after the film, there is the names of the cast and
the credits.
So I like to read them and go everywhere on social media and on the internet to know about them. There were about six camera person.
I mean, wow, six, okay. That's it for the whole thing.
Yeah, six cinematographers and two additional camera. Wow. So they had to.
How did they do it? Guess is they did like a lot of research before, and maybe they put out. I don't know. It's pretty. If I can find any information about how they did that, I'll put it in the show notes. But it's pretty crazy. But maybe they knew these people were planning to run for something, and so they kind of followed them beforehand. Because there's a few, it seems like they were with them a few days before the event started to kind of talk about whether. And then there's some that planned to run for governor and then ended up going for party chair. That was Ben's, I think his name was Ben. It's pretty remarkable that they found those people.
You can see they bring some of the characters very, maybe, like in the middle of the film. For example, when it was not at the very beginning of the film, they bring him into the film maybe after something like 20 minutes, I remember. Or there was somebody else, and they bring, you know, when they bring characters and there is the name, which is very big in the screen. So I don't know. I think they had 100 hours of footage, and they did a very great job into crafting that story in the edit room. So
yeah,
it's great. I mean, those filmmaker Andrew, they are great.
I was very, very impressed by it too. And I'm not a documentary filmmaker, so I don't even know the process, so it carries more weight coming from you. But you know what I thought too, like, they must have been just amazed at the story that they got to capture, because even as things unfold, and getting those kind of confessional moments on the couch, that people saying pretty shocking things. And I guess that kind of transitioned into my next question. So on the negative side, what about this? Did you find any negatives about whether the event itself or just the democratic process as we do it in the U.S. That stuck out to you in the movie?
I mean, as far as the democratic system in the U.S., I don't think I would have been comfortable to be as a citizen to have only two choices when it's come to election, like to vote for a Democrat or a Republican. I think there can be a third, there can be a fourth choice, because it's really, really limited when you have only two parties. And this is for the democratic system in the US. But for the Boy State event in itself, I think one of my critics will be the gender exclusivity. To me, it poses problem because when you have a bunch of dudes discussing issues related to, for example, women, it's really problematic. They were talking about abortion. I know abortion is a very controversial topic in the US, but I don't think you can let 1,000 young boys.
It's ridiculous to like
thinking, planning and making they were not making decisions, but having strong opinion about something they have no clue about. They are young for one, and they are not women.
Yeah.
First. I think it's really, really problematic. And in that way, that tells you how radical some politician will become when they get, you know, in higher, in real elected, you know, when they get into real politics or in politics, into real life. To me, that's a problem. And I guess another problem I would also say is that, I mean, although they are trying to kind of simulate the democratic process, but it's not representative of what the society is, because they ignore the vast majority of the population, which is, you know, the women. So I know they say there is a girl state, but again, when those people will be experiencing politics in the real life, the girls, for example, they will be facing male.
Very different experience because of that.
You don't expose the young girls to this platform where they can also fight or compete or run against, you know, young boys. I don't think they will really be able to apply this experience in real life, because this is not what, you know, real life is in Washington or, you know, in any state in the country. So, I think it's problematic. I don't know. There might be some good arguments for why they have boy state and girl state separately. But to me, to have a sort of simulation of the democratic process that can really be representative of what the society, what society is, we should include both men and, you know, girls and boys into the same platform, the same space where they can, you know, compete and have arguments and do all kind of things you've seen those boys do. It can, you know, reinforce the patriarchy society. Or so when those boys, again, to sum up my idea, when you have thousands of boys being gathered in one place discussing matters for society, being elected in, you know, higher position, they will go home and think they can make decisions for everybody and forget about girls and forget about others. And quite frankly, the only issue they raise, which is about women, was only abortion.
Yeah, that's really...
They were more about gun control. They were more about economy. They were more... There was nothing about gender equality or nothing about racial equality.
Yeah.
It's really... I mean, it's really problematic. The thing they are trying to solve, or the thing they are trying to teach this boy, can be really counterproductive in real life.
I completely agree with all that. And I think, too, just like... when you get a bunch of boys together, they are going to just behave differently than they would if there were women there too. And so, and that there's that aspect of it as well. But yeah, you hit it on the head too, because like someone even says at the beginning, I've never seen so many white people in my life. And so not only is it all men, but it's overwhelmingly white, which that probably reflects Texas to some degree, but surely it's not as one-sided as it seems to be in the film, that there's very few people of color there. My guess as far as like how Boy State came around, I even feel like I may have heard this, that originally there was Boy State, and then at some point Girl State was created because girls were being excluded. But it just feels, you know, old-fashioned in a way that all of Boy State kind of feels old-fashioned, that maybe one day they will integrate gender-wise on that. But yeah, that's an interesting point too. But I like what you said too about, yeah, it goes straight to the abortion talk and to the guns. And it seems like for me, what was interesting and not a good thing is how the rhetoric immediately went to the extreme things like that, like abortion and guns and I don't think what else, but they hit on those two things a lot. And that probably just mirrors, you know, the rhetoric we hear from the White House or have heard in the past. And it's, yeah, that's where our political arguments go. And that's another kind of point in favor of, you know, maybe this two-party system is not as effective as it could be, which is not something I ever heard growing up. Like, I never thought to question two-party systems, even though I knew that other countries were different. I didn't ever think maybe there's another way to do this. Yeah, I think that's probably pretty common. Like, I don't think we question too much the system that we have, and because it seems like it would be really, really hard to change it too. And it, you know, hopefully this film is helping to kind of cement that, yeah, just two parties is really not a great thing. I think I probably had the thought, like, you know, it's amazing how everything is split into two, you know, when I was growing up, but I never seriously considered any alternative to the reality that it's been for so long now. And it was only recent years that I learned that George Washington himself was not a fan of the two-party system. And yeah, I think this movie makes that case pretty, pretty well, that yeah, being divided. And so that kind of gets into my next thing, that some of the things that we get, these revelations on the couch, are really shocking. One in particular, which maybe I can not spoil exactly what happens with it if someone hasn't watched the movie, but basically there's a character who we hear very strongly speaking in pro-life terms, and he's on giving speeches and like riling up the crowd and very much on that side of that issue. And then we find out in privately, oh yeah, I'm completely on the opposite of that. But he said, the quote that he said is, sometimes you got to say what you got to say in an attempt to win. And so it was a game to him, and it was about the power of it. And yeah, it was just amazing to hear it in that stark of terms, that we know that's how American politics operates often, that people make promises that they don't necessarily intend to keep. But, you know, here's what our youth are learning from that. Like, he was completely two-faced about it and didn't seem to have much of an issue. He said something about, like, maybe that it seemed like he didn't even question it until they were interviewing him about it. Like, maybe that's not an okay thing to do. Maybe that's a problem. But he had just been so outspoken against his beliefs, which, again, it feels somewhat, I don't want to just harp too much on President Trump, but definitely seems to have some parallels there. But anyway.
But again, the problem with that is the fact you have someone who can influence a group of people, mm-hmm. about an idea that this person personally does not believe in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And is not intimately connected with that issue, yeah. which is pro-life or, you know,
yeah. Yeah, again, the abortion thing that, yeah, doesn't affect him personally.
Any person, you have any person from the group who that is directly impacted by, you know, this kind of policy, that can raise their voice and say, this is what the story is. This is what the experience is. You have any experience into that? I understand your ideology. I understand your political view, but this is what it is. Mm-hmm. For example, when you have Steven,
yeah.
who is from immigrant parents, he can have he can, you know, share his not only perspective but also own experience. And as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. in one of his speeches, he talked a little bit about how he believes in the American dream because his parents, they came here as undocumented immigrants. If you, you know, give a chance to people like me, we contribute to this country and blah, blah, blah. So that was he was making a great case for immigration policy. But when you have any person that is directly impacted by pro-life or pro-abortion policies who can make a point in this forum or in this conversation, and you have that guy who is just, you know, who just was using this as a way to appeal voters mm-hmm. and can just get away and say behind closed doors, I don't really believe in that. But the impact he has made mm-hmm. will stand with these people. And to me, that's really problematic to me.
Yeah, that moment in the movie is really, it's really something. It really kind of took my breath away. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. Because yeah, you've watched him for so long. Yeah, just talk about it. Yeah. So that moment for me was a big one. Another one was, I don't think it was on the couch. I think it was just kind of in conversation with his friends. And it was a character just kind of casually saying, oh yeah, we've got to use personal attacks. If we're going to win this election, we've got to attack them personally, which again, completely mirrors the politics that we see on TV. But they had no problem going after Steven's, you know, personal history and record on Instagram. And then they attack Renee as well about, you know, calling him biased and making a big show, big political theater about this, this thing. And it's amazing how that message has gotten ingrained that's how elections are supposed to work. And so that just comes out when you put them in this kind of experiment. It's really wild.
One of my concerns about this scene, I guess I was trying to make that point before, what I can go into that a little bit deeper now, is the same way they use those Instagram posts from Rene to attack him in this. That was a play. There even is a play. It's not really serious, mm-hmm. but they took it seriously. That's fine.
Yeah.
I wonder if some of these guys, maybe in the future, if they want to run for office, if people will not take some of their, you know, some of the opinion they share in this film against them, because we've seen that mm-hmm. now social media, we call cancel culture. I remember Kevin Hart, he was about to host the Oscar ceremony, yeah. I guess. Mm-hmm. And somebody brought back something he posted on Twitter about gay 10 years ago, and big backlash, and he had to step away from that offer to host the Oscar. And now I wonder if, you know, some of those men, they will change, you know, their opinions and their political views about some of the issues. And this film is here to stay.
Yeah.
So they talk on tape.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. That's so interesting. And
that's why I was trying to bring towards the question of access. How do these filmmakers get access? Who give permission to film those boys expressing views they don't even know that much about?
Yeah.
It was just to play, to be part of that game for 1 week and then go back home. Maybe some of them are really into politics and others are not. So those materials can be used against them.
Yeah. That's really interesting. One thing, as you're saying that, I remembered when I was at Boise State, one thing they said over and over was, our future leaders of our state are here in this room all the time. So they really harped on, like, you guys are going to be the people in charge, you know, and so like our senators are right here, I'm sure. And our future governor is probably in this room. And that kind of thing was said a lot. And so, yeah, if that's the case here, yes, this might hurt the political chances of some of the people in this film. It's pretty interesting to think about. Yeah, I am interested. It shows some of them, like, I feel like I can go find them on Instagram, you know, and follow them and see kind of what happens, because these are real people and they might have real political careers. It is interesting in that ending. It kind of goes through, I think, four or five of the boys, and
the people about doing. I was trying to read what you were saying.
And what they're doing now, and it goes from like one guy is excited about his new truck, you know, and it's like that's kind of the biggest thing going on in his life right now, all the way to Steven, who's like giving a speech at the some Democratic event that's really pretty cool. And I just kind of, you can see already you had a sense like who thinks this is a game and who really cares about it, and then you kind of see the fruit of that in that final segment of like who has gone on to do anything in politics and who hasn't. So anyway, that's an interesting point there.
To speak about what you are saying, if there is, I don't know, maybe I can be very biased, maybe, I mean, I am, but if there is one person among those leaders or those main characters who is really smart politically, this is Steven.
Yeah.
Who was really careful. He doesn't speak too much. He carefully chooses his words, mm-hmm. and trying to find common ground, as you said. You see, this is someone who is trying to protect his image as a politician. And as a matter of fact, he is now in his way to be into real politics.
Yeah.
So, but I guess some of the other guys, if they were really, I don't know, if they knew what is really at stake, because they are not part of the Boys State event, but also part of a documentary, which is a documentary, so that is going to stay. They would have been more careful as far as how they speak.
Yeah.
Because, okay, let's take the example. I don't know if that film was shot before what happened over the summer, but now we have this big conversation in this country about racism and racial equity.
Yeah.
And we have Karen. As a matter of fact, one of them, his mother is called Karen. I was reading that on the Boise State's film website. So what happened is, I wonder, how do they feel? How do their family members feel or classmates feel when they see those boys harassing or having this backlash against this black guy?
Yeah. It's like it seems like there's very few people of color, and then there's one in power here, and they're gonna try to impeach him, and like he calls it out. He's like, this feels racial, and it absolutely felt racial to me too. And that's really interesting.
Like in the racial intimidation. So I wonder, how do they feel about that now?
Yeah.
Everybody's to open eyes with what's going on in terms of racial inequality or racism in this country.
Yeah. So I think this was filmed in 2018, I think is what, at some point they said the year. And so, it was before any of that. I do wonder whether they would have been so bold, you know, if that had happened this year, you know. But that's pretty interesting.
But I guess, Andrew, I will learn more about the making of this film, because I don't know, maybe you could have had some of the parents or board members of both states trying to influence the filmmaking decision in editing, trying to say, okay, we can remove that part. For example, I remember, I don't know if you've seen this short documentary series on Netflix, Immigration Nation.
I've heard of it. I have not watched it.
So there was some really big trouble between the film crew and ICE, because ICE gave access to the filmmakers, and based on, I don't know, an agreement, and they had to, you remember, I guess there was a file against the filmmakers in a court to stop them from releasing the film because they violated the agreement. They discussed that on some of the podcasts I listened about this documentary, where they said, the filmmakers said something like the ICE was trying to have, it's like to watch every footage before they use them or before they publish them, and that wasn't part of the agreement. So I wonder if there wasn't the same kind of dynamic to release that film in this period of time where politics is getting everybody's attention and the political divide between, you know, the two parties and I don't know.
Yeah.
There are so many questions we could have asked about between and even the release of this film.
Yeah, it seems like, will there ever be this kind of access to a boys' date again now that we've seen, and like the people in charge are going to be like, no, you can't do this again. Yeah, that's pretty interesting to think about too. Yeah. Well, do you have any kind of final thoughts on the movie? Was there anything else you didn't get to say before we wrap things up?
Yeah, again, we haven't talked too much, and it's difficult to talk about the film itself and the event because we are in a heavily political period of time.
Yes.
And we kind of are more interested into the politics side of, or the event itself, because it's a political event, than the film, talking about the artistic approach. We talked a little bit about some decisions they made or they make, which are more interesting in some of them. Can, you know, be problematic, but I guess overall we touches on a lot of things about this film, and I have to thank you because I am very lazy, and that was a good reason or excuse for me to watch this film and take notes. So I mean, usually I watch documentaries. I watch much more documentaries than narrative films. So because I want or I am a documentary filmmaker.
Yeah.
And when I'm watching a film, I mean, whether it's a documentary or not, I take notes.
Yeah.
I pose to go on Instagram to follow, you know, somebody that really catches my attention in the film, or I read about it. I listen to podcasts. I read videos. I mean, watching a film for me is more than 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So it can be a week because I will keep digging to know all about the filmmaking process and the conversation on social media and everything. So
I absolutely see eye to eye with you on that because, yeah, I always have the internal struggle like, oh, I want to watch more and more and more movies, but I want to watch one movie and then like take time to think about it. I want to watch the special features. I want to read articles about it. So, like, all those different things. So, yes, I mean, that's why I started a podcast. I love podcasts about movies so much. I was like, you know, actually, I could do that. That'd be fun. So, yes, I completely agree with you. And this movie, there's so much. I feel like I need to go research more, even though I did some reading beforehand. But how this was made and how it came together. But yeah, it's pretty remarkable film. I definitely recommend everyone check it out. You can watch it on Apple TV. That's Boys State. Thanks so much for joining me today, Obed. It's been really a great conversation, and I'm so happy to have heard your perspective on this and hear a little bit more about you. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Andrew, for having me. So we've been talking about that for so long, and finally we get it done. And also thank you for, you know, making this space for, you know, filmmakers and talk about their work and to, you know, give another life to, you know, films or those works, because, you know, I mean, I'm a filmmaker myself. I know what it means for me when we have people not only watch my film, but also discuss about them. So you are contributing to this aspect of the film making world or things. So I'm thankful not only because you host me today, but also because you give life to what? you are helping filmmakers and people in the film industry to get the words out. Definitely, because watching, and mostly for documentary, it's not just watching a documentary, it's also having the conversation. It's also raising awareness about the issues the film, a specific film, is discussing. So yes, thank you for being part of this world.
Well, thank you so much for that. That means so much to me that you said that. And it's because, I mean, I just love movies. I think there really is a power in cinema. And so I want to get in and have these conversations. And the Arkansas film community is actually, yeah, it's been a great place to find people like yourself who have thoughts about movies and can and get in and have these interesting conversations that I hope are helpful for people to not only contextualize the movie, but also I just feel like movies are a way to grow as a person, especially a documentary where you're kind of learning about real situations. So I appreciate you, and I'm just so happy that we got connected. So yes, thank you so much. This has been a really, really great episode of the show, and I'm so thankful to you for that.
Thank you.
I loved that conversation so much. Such an interesting person and so kind and encouraging to me personally. Big thanks again to Obed for joining the show. If you're new to Arthouse Garage, you can check out our podcast feed. This season is all about the best films of 2020 as we run up to the Oscars in a few weeks, but we've also done a season on a classic film starter pack. We also did an arthouse film starter pack. We've looked at contemporary Asian filmmakers. We've been doing this a few years, so have a look back. There's probably something else you might be interested in. If you're a cinema newbie, don't worry. We promise to never talk over your head, even when the film is pretty tough to understand. That's part of what it means to us to be snob-free. And stay tuned. We've got episodes coming up in the next few weeks on the new drama Minari, the Italian film Martin Eden. And we're planning to end the season with an Oscars reaction show after that award show airs on April 25th. Thank you so much for listening to Arthouse Garage. Our theme music is by composer Paul Hunefeld. Learn more at the link in the show notes. If you want to support Arthouse Garage, leave a rating or review in your podcast app, or you can buy an Arthouse Garage t-shirt at arthousegarage.com/shop. You can stay in the loop about Arthouse Garage and the films we're covering by subscribing to our email newsletter at arthousegarage.com/subscribe, or you can email me directly, andrew@arthousegarage.com. And of course, follow on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. Just search at Arthouse Garage in all those places. And that will do it for this episode. Thank you again so much for listening, and until next time, keep it snob free.